Hello, inclusionists. Welcome back to Think Inclusive, the podcast that brings you conversations with people doing the work of inclusion in the real world. I'm your host, Tim Villegas. Today's episode is one that I've been looking forward to sharing with you for a long time. My guest is Elizabeth Bonker. She's been an advocate for non-speakers with autism for more than a decade. You may know her from her book and album, I Am In Here, or maybe you saw her viral commencement speech when she graduated as valedictorian from Rollins College in 2022. That speech, well, it reached over 4 billion people around the world. Yeah, billion, with a B. Elizabeth has given keynote addresses at places like Stanford Medical School's Neurodiversity Summit, Neurodiversity in Business in London, and the India Inclusion Summit in Bangalore. She's an absolute force, and she's also a non-speaker who communicates by typing. Now, I want to pause here and share something with you. I used to be skeptical of spelling or typing to communicate, and I know some of you listening or watching may still be wary, and that's totally fine. It's okay. I get it. But as you listen to this conversation, I want to invite you to presume competence. Elizabeth pre-typed out all of her responses to my main questions and typed live responses for my follow-up questions during our interview. I've seen her do it in person. She's fully capable of expressing herself this way. And while I did edit her responses slightly just to keep the episode tight, what you'll hear is her voice, her thoughts, and her truth. In our conversation, we talk about the barriers non-speaking students face in schools, especially the denial of access to typing, which Elizabeth calls a civil rights issue. She shares her personal journey and the mission of her nonprofit, Communication for All, which offers free resources to teach non-speakers how to type. We also get into the challenges of dyspraxia, dysregulation, and the urgent need for educational reform. And through it all, Elizabeth reminds us that love and compassion must be at the center of this work. Now, before we get into my conversation with Elizabeth, I want to tell you about our sponsor for this season, IXL. IXL is a fantastic all-in-one platform designed for K-12 education. It helps boost student achievement, empowers teachers, and tracks progress seamlessly. Imagine having a tool that simplifies what usually requires dozens of different resources. Well, that's IXL. As students practice, IXL adapts to their individual needs, ensuring they're both supported and challenged. Plus, each learner receives a personalized learning plan to effectively address any knowledge gaps. Learn more at IXL.com/inclusive. That's IXL.com/inclusive. All right, it's time to think inclusive. I'm trying out that tagline. Let me know what you think. Here's my conversation with Elizabeth Bonker. Elizabeth Bonker, welcome to the Think Inclusive podcast. Elizabeth and I, we met at, gosh, it was a while ago now. It was at the COPA conference two times ago. I believe it was in Atlanta. And that's when I asked you to come on to the podcast. So I'm glad we have gotten this scheduled. So Elizabeth is a non-speaker who types to communicate. And how we've set up this interview is I've shared some questions with you, and you've pre-typed those answers into your computer. And so I'll ask those questions and then you'll answer them. But then I will also I have some follow-up questions. Why don't we start off with our first question, which is, I'm gonna have to pull it up so I can see. Elizabeth, what are some barriers for students who type or spell to communicate to utilize this kind of communication method in school?
Non-speaking students like me are routinely denied access to typing in schools. This barrier is a clear violation of our civil rights as mandated by the Americans with Disabilities Act. Despite the lack of access in K-12 schools, there are now thousands of typers around the world and dozens of graduates from colleges including Harvard, Columbia, UCLA, and Rollins. We need to remove the barriers so all non-speaking students can be educated in public school. Blind students use Braille and deaf students use sign language. Now is the time for non-speakers to type in school.
So what I'm hearing is that there are a lot more non-speakers that are typing in school now. We need to remove barriers so all non-speaking students can be educated in public school. Elizabeth, what do you think is the biggest barrier right now for non-speakers?
Schools need to change the way they see non-speakers. We can type and be educated in mainstream classes. The biggest barrier is old thinking. We need to change that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Elizabeth, you were educated in mainstream or in inclusive classrooms. Is that correct?
I was mainstreamed in first grade 22 years ago. To my knowledge, no other non-speaker has been given that same opportunity. It is so sad. Communication for All is working to change that and give all non-speakers the opportunity I had.
And Communication for All is your nonprofit organization that provides training and resources to educators, parents, and non-speakers to access this kind of communication. Is that right? Did I characterize that right? I don't want to speak for you.
That is correct. Everything is on our website free of charge.
Fantastic. And we'll make sure to put all of that information in the show notes to this episode. Let's get to the second question. And I can hear it, we have a lot of listeners that are educators that work in schools. And I know that they'd be wondering if, are there any schools who are supporting learners who spell or type to communicate right now, especially in public schools?
There are a handful of schools that are quietly educating older typers, but they stay quiet because the forces against typing will attack them for supporting us. And who are these forces denying non-speakers communication and education? They are the billion-dollar businesses that control autism education. They make money by keeping us disabled.
That's a powerful statement, Elizabeth. I wonder, from your perspective, how are organizations making money by keeping you or other non-speakers disabled?
I had thousands of hours of speech therapy and still cannot speak. They would have kept giving me more and more.
So what you're saying is these organizations or companies that provide therapy for either communication or quote-unquote treatment for autism, that really what you needed was access to this kind of communication, and the longer that people gave you therapy, these kinds of therapies, so that you could verbally speak, instead of providing you access to your mode of communication now, that was, and for other people, that's wasted time, right? So they are benefiting by spending all of this time providing therapy when really many students would benefit from access to typing. Am I understanding that's what you're saying?
Yes. They are actively opposing typing for non-speakers in schools. We are working with families across the country where their non-speaker is denied access to their effective communication.
Yeah, so that's a definite barrier and problem for families who are looking to support their children with this mode of communication. I'm wondering what was life like for you before you had access to spelling and typing. What was your journey to this kind of communication?
My life before typing was filled with anger and frustration. I understood everything going on around me, but was treated like I had an intellectual disability by the so-called experts. My parents knew I was in here and unlocked my silent cage. Thanks to 60 Minutes, my grandmother saw a courageous woman named Soma teaching her own non-speaking son how to communicate by pointing to letters. We were on the next flight to Texas. I was 5 years old. My life went from hopeless to hopeful. Can I play a clip from my song Silent Cage to give you a sense of how it feels for non-speakers before they can communicate?
Absolutely. I remember hearing this at the conference, and I'm just remembering that's Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine. that is quite a cameo on your music. That's great. I'll make sure to. I know you have this and a couple more clips. Let's see. One, two. We got one more clip from your album and your music, so we'll make sure to put all of that in the show notes so people can listen. But yeah, that's amazing music. It is totally. I'm a big rock and roll fan, so that's right up my alley. I appreciate that. Now I know that you can't see your communication partner right now off screen, but I do know that you have one. And so I'm wondering if we can talk a little bit about that. So why does your communication partner have to hold a keyboard for you?
Communication partners have different roles for different typers. Some typers can hold their own keyboard or have it on a table stand. Typing this way takes tremendous motor control and it is exhausting. Most non-speakers with autism need a communication partner to hold the keyboard for two reasons. We have dyspraxia and dysregulation. Dyspraxia is a disorder of planned motor movements. It prevents us from speaking and from moving our bodies reliably on demand. We learn to type from a communication partner coaching us, and a lot of practice. A communication partner's calm presence helps us with our dysregulation. As researcher Stephen Porges writes, all regulation is co-regulation. We are using his polyvagal theory in our strategic initiative Regulation for All. We are partnered with Dr. Elizabeth Torres, the founder of the Sensory Motor Integration Lab at Rutgers University, to create an app to help monitor and improve regulation for anyone, including non-speakers. For more information, check out our website, communicationforall.org.
Elizabeth, as a follow-up question, would you mind if I ask you some questions about autism from your perspective?
Go ahead.
So in your response, you talk about dyspraxia and dysregulation, and you touched on it a little bit about dyspraxia being a disorder of planned motor movements. But in a general understanding of what autism is, especially to our audience who are educators, who are teaching autistic students in classes right now, dyspraxia may be an unfamiliar concept or term. I mean, unless you're an occupational therapist, you probably don't really know what that is. So I'm wondering, can you explain dyspraxia a little bit more and how that affects your daily life?
It is a brain-body disconnect. When I was in ABA sessions, they would ask me to touch the dog and I knew which one was the dog, but I could not reliably get my body to touch it. That is why we need to be taught to type. It takes a lot of coaching and practice to overcome our dyspraxia.
That makes a lot of sense. Elizabeth, I don't know if you know much about my background, but I was a special education teacher for a long time in schools, and I taught in segregated, self-contained classrooms for students with autism. And I even did behavioral therapy way, way back when I first started. And so I did discrete trial training, which I'm sure you know what that is. But and so many times I would be working with a student and having them point to objects or pictures, and seeing them get frustrated. Well, everyone is frustrated because, you know, it's like, I knew that the student knew what the picture was, but somehow I needed for that student to, you know, show me in a particular way so that I could score, you know, something, you know, on their assignment or whatever it is. So I can imagine how frustrating that is to know something and not being able to express it in the way that somebody wants you to. And what a relief it would be to have a mode of communication that you can really express yourself. So there's really no question in there. I'm just reflecting back about what you said and how that is really rings true for me, and I think it will for our.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Audience. Let's talk about your communication method. What is something that you want educators to know about your communication method?
Thank you, Tim. My communication method is typing. There is no mystery, just hard work learning how to control our bodies and touch the letters. Think about Stephen Hawking learning to type. It isn't easy, but it is so important for us to connect with other human beings. Non-speakers around the world are learning to type with C4A Academy, our internet-based program of instructional videos, written lessons, and support. Communication for All is a nonprofit. We offer everything you need to get started, including the stencils, free of charge. I just returned from Calcutta, India, where I presented at the Parivar National Autism Conference and met with 7 organizations that serve children and adults with autism. They are excited to partner with Communication for All to teach their non-speakers to type.
It's really exciting that you have all of these resources at your website, communicationforall.org, and it's completely free and anyone can jump in and start learning, how to give access to their children and students this mode of communication. So, thank you for what you do and for providing this resource and service to, the thousands of non-speakers out in the world. It may be even be more than thousands. I may be underestimating that. What do you think needs to change for more learners who type or spell to communicate to get access in public schools?
Schools need to change the way they see non-speakers. We have a motor disorder, not a cognitive one. We need to educate school boards and administrators, teachers and therapists about the latest science, including how to overcome our dyspraxia and dysregulation to learn to type. Non-speakers around the world are showing how capable we are, and it starts with being taught to type so we can be educated. Communication for All works with innovative public and private schools to start typing programs for non-speakers. Please contact us. Your school can be a beacon for non-speakers in the educational community. I would like to end with an anthem I wrote that unites our community. I am in here.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's play it. That's such a good song, Elizabeth. I know you wrote the word. So I know you wrote the words to the song. I'm wondering, do you like rock music? Is that why you chose to express yourself in this particular way?
Music opens the heart so the head can listen. We are changing hearts and minds for communication equality. Thank you, Tim, for joining the mission.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's my pleasure to have you on the podcast and to talk about your nonprofit and your experiences, your journey with typing to communicate. I have one more question about autism, if that's okay. It's about dysregulation. So we talked about dyspraxia, and I want to ask you a question about dysregulation. I'll give you a reasoning and then I'll ask the question. Most often when educators are learning about autism, they learn about the symptoms of autism or the characteristics of autism, meaning speech delay, and then social, a delay in social interactions, or there's some sort of, quote unquote impairment with social connectedness or communication. And then the third one is like repetitive or restricted interests. And these are not my, this is not my terms. These are like the diagnostic terms, right? And then we have some sort of like sensory difficulties or whatever. I find it really hard to, when we start out with such a deficit way of thinking about autism, it's hard when I'm talking to educators about how to support learners on the autism spectrum. And I'm wondering if you can help, like if you were to talk to educators and say, what helps you with regulation and helps you feel safe and comfortable enough to talk to me and have a conversation and type to communicate? What makes you feel safe and comfortable and helps you regulate?
Regulation is a big challenge for many on the spectrum. I worked with a scientist for 2 years to go from fight or flight to safe mode. Communication for All has a strategic initiative called Regulation for All to build an app that will help families monitor and improve regulation. You can only have a great quality of life with communication and regulation.
I like the emphasis that you're putting on not only communication but regulation, and I think that is that's something for educators to consider as they are setting up classrooms, inclusive classrooms in schools, to be able to support learners on the autism spectrum. So thank you again for everything that you're doing to help bring communication to all, for all, with your nonprofit. I have one more question. It's called the mystery question. And what the mystery question is a question. There are a stack of cards that my daughter, I have an 11-year-old, who has written out a number of questions for me to ask our guests at the very end of our episode. And I pick a random question from the card deck, and then we both answer it. I'm going to take a sip of coffee. Here we go. Mystery question. All right. If you could travel back in time, when and what would you do? I'm going to put that up there. If you could travel back in time, when, I can't read it backwards. When and what would you do? There we go. When and what would you do? Okay, well, I'm going to try not to overthink this because it's easy to, with the mystery question, it's easy to overthink it. But I think the first thing that comes to mind, I don't know why, I really would have loved to see like the, when would this be? Like the Sherlock Holmes, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. I guess that would be like 18th century. London, like old timey London, of hanging out with, you know, people in riding horses and in the city, and just like the dawn of like this new industrial age. I don't know why that sounds interesting to me right now, but I love Doctor Who, the TV show Doctor Who. It's a, you know, it's a British show, and the Doctor gets in his TARDIS, this little blue police box, and travels all around, you know, all around town. But he usually ends up being somewhere in Britain, the United Kingdom. But so that's what I'm imagining, like getting into a TARDIS and then going back and meeting, you know, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle when he was writing his Sherlock Holmes novels. So that's what comes to mind for me. What about you?
I would go back in time and meet Jesus. He had so much wisdom about love and compassion. I think the world could do with more of that. And I hope our mission to help non-speakers is always rooted in love and compassion.
That is a great answer. I love that. Wonderful, wonderful. Elizabeth Bonker, thank you so much for being on the Think Inclusive podcast. This was a fascinating conversation, and I really appreciate your time.
Bye.
That was Elizabeth Bonker. I've been thinking a lot about what Elizabeth said, about how denying access to communication is a civil rights issue. It's something that should stop all of us in our tracks, because if we truly believe in inclusion, then we have to believe in the right to be heard, and not just heard, understood. Elizabeth's story is a reminder that inclusion isn't just theoretical, it's personal, it's urgent, and it's possible. That's all the time we have for this episode of Think Inclusive. And with that, we are wrapping up season 12. Can you believe it? We've completed 40 episodes this season, not including bonus ones. And we're so grateful that you've been along for the ride. We'll be taking the month of August off to rest, reflect, plan. But don't worry, we're not going anywhere. Toward the end of August, keep your... keep an ear out for the trailer for season 13. The new season officially drops on Thursday, September 4th, 2025, with fresh episodes coming into your feed every Thursday throughout the school year. Now, let's roll the credits. Think Inclusive is brought to you by me, Tim Villegas. I handle the writing, editing, design, mixing, and mastering. This podcast is a proud production of the Maryland Coalition for Inclusive Education. Our original music is by Miles Kredich, with additional tunes by Melody. A big shout out to our sponsor for this season, IXL. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Make sure to check them out at IXL.com/inclusive. We truly appreciate each and every one of you who tunes in, and we'd love to hear how you're using these episodes. Are they part of your teaching toolkit? Are you sharing them with school administrators? Drop me a line at tviegas@mcie.org and let me know. And hey, if you are still with us this far into the episode, it probably means that you love Think Inclusive in the work MCIE is doing. Can I ask a small favor? Help us keep the momentum going by donating at our website, mcie.org. Just click the button at the top of the site and chip in $5, $10, $20. It would mean the world to us and to the children in the schools and districts we partner with. Thanks for your time and attention. And remember, inclusion always works.
From MCIE.